Hi, Kevin.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, great. So we're good to go.
Yep, we are.
All right. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall that you finished up, and your major and majors.
Sure. So my year of graduation was 2021. I officially graduated in the spring, but I had a few credits to finish, so I technically finished in the summer.
Got it.
And my major was music business. The track was management. And my instrument was drums.
Very nice. You anticipated that question.
Yep, I heard it so many times.
All right. So we will talk about your history later. But for
Sure.
now, let's discuss your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
So I work at FIS, or I guess the long name would be Fidelity National Information Services. The company is in the fintech or financial technology industry. And I always have a hard time like describing exactly what we do because it doesn't really roll off the tongue. But
Well, yeah, I assume that's
essentially,
part of Fidelity, which is a large financial firm.
it's actually not. It's actually separate from Fidelity.
Oh,
Fidelity
okay.
Nat, yeah, it's actually different. They're two different companies, which I used to actually think they were the same thing, but they're actually separate. So what we do is we essentially develop software products that allow companies to conduct transactions. So, for example, one of our big clients would be like Comerica, for example, and we develop software that helps them basically conduct their business on the financial side.
Got
And
it.
we are separate from the other Fidelity Investments, I think.
Right. So are you saying like the software that will process a financial transaction, like if someone writes a check or if stock is bought or sold, that sort of thing?
Right, yeah, banking, payments, investment, all that kind of stuff. So our clients include, there are three main segments essentially. So there's banking, there's like capital markets, which is more investment side, and there's merchant, which is like, Walmart or like Amazon, those kind of companies. And so we essentially develop this back-end software they would use to accept and, make payments through their company.
Got it. Yeah, like when someone pays with a credit card, right? There's obviously a lot
Exactly.
of stuff that happens that we don't see.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of hard to explain because it's something that a lot, like every almost everyone, has used at some point our technology, but we, no one really knows it because, we're serving the back end, like a B2B, and we our clients are businesses, not, regular people, so.
Sure. I know back end for the software sense, it's sort of like front end is what the user actually looks at, and then back end is
Right.
all the processes that happen to
Yeah.
support it. Great.
Exactly.
And do you know about how big FIS is in
Yeah,
terms of people?
we're a very big company. It's I think around 75,000 employees. And it's, it's we I don't know exactly how many countries we're in, but it's over 100, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. This is
A lot of countries. It's not just the United States, too.
Yeah, I know we have offices all over the U.S. and then in Europe, and I think we have one in India, and I think we even have one in Africa. So we're everywhere. So it's a really big company.
Got it. Curious, is Fidelity Information Services like the one company that puts out this software, or did one of a small number?
It's one of a small number. There's a couple competitors. We have, oh man, I don't know why, but the competitors just slipped my head right now.
It's okay. I was just curious if you were in it there, but
Yeah,
there are
but
others.
there's like a few main competitors we have, basically.
Got it.
It's not like there's like, a ton of companies
Yeah,
in the
it's
field.
like accounting where there's the big four.
Right, yeah.
Sure. And what's your exact title then?
My title is business process analyst, or I guess business analyst, to be more simple. And so I'm in a team called Global Reporting Solutions, and we basically specialize in executive reporting. So what that means is we basically gather data, company data, from various teams and organizations throughout the company, finances, sales, all that. And we basically build reports using that data to deliver to the CEOs and other executives. And so they can use it to assess company performance and team performance and all that, right? And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so this data then is the internal data for FIS.
Yes. And it's, yeah, it's our team is very internal. Our clients are also our internal, like executives, salespeople, those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Understood. How big's your team?
So my direct team under my manager is five people. And then my extended team is about 20, I think.
So what's the difference? What's the core team versus the extended team? Are the core all working on these reports, or is the whole extended team working on them?
Yeah, it's more of like a hierarchy thing than like a job thing. I'd say for all intents and purposes, I would just use the extended team number because I work with people outside my core team all the time. So the extended team is really is what's called Global Reporting Solutions. But the core team is just everyone who's under my manager, essentially, in my hierarchy.
Got it. And when you put together a report, I'm curious mm-hmm. as to, like, are you sort of the one, are each of you working on, like, a different smaller report or different section of a report, or are you and three other people all working together on this, you know, one section very, like, you know, how much are you really working with other people, and how much is it like you're handed off your bit to do and you do your bit?
That's a good question. It's a bit of both. So right now, I'll talk about right now because it changes, you know, over time. But like right now, we're working on one big report. You know, this is for the executives, like top level people. And it's like company wide information. So we're working on one big report. And so, for example, the entire team is working on this one big report, but the big report has like 20 different sections that are in it. So there will be like a section for finance. There will be a section for sales. And that kind of stuff, and or like legal, or for example, and I guess each team member would be directed to do a portion of that big report, but technically all these different sections are their own small reports. So like, for example, I'm doing a lot of finance stuff right now, so that's sort of my responsibility, and they're their own reports, but they're contributing to the bigger whole, in a sense.
Got it. Yep, that makes sense. So I guess next question is, is your job solely like data gathering and putting it into charts, or is there some sort of like analysis, some sort of, you know, are you doing the analyzing, or is it mostly just like reporting, if that makes sense?
Right, it's mostly reporting, but there is some analysis, and also it's also like, what kind of narrative do we want to tell with the data? You know, it's like, how do we want to present this data? That sort of thing. It's less analysis. There's actually a section of our team that focuses more on analysis. But the part I'm in and the role I play is more report building and using data that other people have, and gathering it and presenting it, essentially.
Sure. And, about how many hours a week do you work?
I'd say average 40. There are some days where, you know, I might work a couple hours extra if we really need to get something out a certain week. For example, like our team is very like monthly, so near the end of the month, we'll have to crunch some stuff, to get the reports out. But we're very good about work-life balance, in my opinion. So usually, I think average would be 40.
That's great. Are you like in office, at home, hybrid?
It's hybrid, yeah. So I work 2 days a week in the office and 3 days at home.
Cool. And could you, let's even say an office day, could you take us through like what a typical work day is like, hour by hour?
Sure. Are you saying like in office, like in the office?
Yeah, let's do one of the in the office days.
Okay, yeah, sure. So I would go in, probably I'd get there probably around 8:45. and we would first thing in the morning, I think, is to probably check emails, because I don't really log in outside of work hours. So I would check all my emails, respond to the ones that are necessary. And right now I've been getting a lot of emails from various people to sort of help them build smaller reports. And, you know, I'll answer those. And they're usually pretty quick requests, so pretty easy. And then I'll check out my calendar. I usually don't have a ton of meetings, maybe like one or two a day. So I'll, you know, plan out my day according to those meetings. And then after I'm done with like the smaller requests, I'll just get to work on whatever big project it is I'm working on. Because usually I'll have some longer term thing I'm working on, like that will take more time. And I'll just start working on that for a few hours with breaks for meetings and stuff. But usually it's the longer term stuff that takes up most of my time.
Gotcha.
And then I'll probably leave the office around 5, I'd say.
Okay. And I'm guessing that the home days are much the same, except maybe fewer meetings?
Yeah. And honestly, even the meetings we have aren't in person usually. So, like, my team is very spread out. So there's like 6 people where I am right now in Jacksonville, Florida. But, like, the other half of my team is, like, in Milwaukee right now. So a lot of the times we don't really have like in-person meetings even when we're in the office, because a lot of our team is outside the city. So it's not really too different whether it's in the office or at home, honestly.
Gotcha. So hey, one of the criteria you have to hit to do these interviews is that you enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
So could you talk about what is it about being a business analyst that you enjoy?
Well, so I've always been like into data. So I don't want to get into my history right now. So yeah. We'll get to that when you ask that question. So I'll just say I enjoy it because it stimulates my brain. I think it's really fun. It also I never thought it would do that, but there's a part of it that also gets my creative side going too, because it's not just numbers. It's also like how to present those numbers in like an easy to read and accurate way. And there's also a creative aspect to it when I build charts or build graphs and build like the way a report might look. There's a big creative side to it. So I guess that's where the music side comes in, where my creativity is also challenged a little bit, as is my more analytical side of my brain. So I really enjoy the flexibility I get. I enjoy just working with numbers. It's always been interesting to me.
Gotcha. Very cool. So, you anticipated the next question is...
yeah.
Let's take it back now to... I was going to say 2021, though it seems as though your story may have a logical earlier starting point, in which case let's take it back to whenever you think is appropriate. And then we'll take you one step from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing, but also in terms of like where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Sure, yeah. You're actually right. Yeah, I would actually take it back to 2018 when I joined Berkeley. Mm-hmm. So when I was deciding what major I wanted to pick, one of the big reasons I picked music business was because of how transferable it seemed, because a lot of the music business classes are like standard business, like classes.
Sure.
They do have a music focus, but like a lot of it is very transferable to regular business. And so that's one of the big reasons I chose it. I just wanted to, you know, keep my options open. And around 2020, when COVID hit, I was at home. And so like I wasn't playing as much anymore, because like when I was at Berkeley, I would play like, you know, a lot with like, you know, jam with friends or like, you know, play gigs and stuff. And I wasn't really doing that as much after COVID hit. So I sort of started to look into other options. And one of the things I found was data analysis. And I took this online course on Coursera called like Grow with Google or something.
So this is while you were still at Berkeley.
Yeah, it was like near the end of my time at Berkeley. I think it was just 2021. Yeah.
Okay.
I took that course, and it was very flexible. So I just, you know, took it, and I was interested in it. So and after I graduated, I decided to apply to different jobs in that field, both in music and also in the secondary data analysis that I studied, and I landed this job. So I interviewed for it, and they liked me, and I got the job. So I sort of switched my trajectory there.
Got it. You mentioned being in Jacksonville, Florida. Is that where you're from?
No, I'm actually from Michigan originally.
So had you moved there and then looked for a job, or were they like, we have an opening in the Jacksonville office, and you moved? Like, how do you
end? So they actually, they gave me four options for moving. So it's a hybrid job, so technically I had to, you know, be in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me four options. It was Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Atlanta, or Jacksonville. And I picked, it was between Atlanta and Jacksonville. I picked Jacksonville because it was just cheaper. But I generally want to move down here because it was warmer, and I wanted that after living in Michigan and Boston. So
very fair.
Yeah. And it was cheaper than Atlanta, so I decided to move to Jacksonville. And the team here is really cool, which I appreciate.
So I just want to double check here. When you say you apply and got the job, it sounds like you didn't have any special connection or anything, just like a job was posted somewhere and you applied, or?
Actually, so just for full transparency, so yeah. My mom actually works at FIS, and she was my, like, sort of, like I put her down as, like, a contact, like a reference,
mm-hmm.
in the when I applied. And she was actually the one who mentioned to me, like, oh, there's this, like, thing that's opening up. It's so what FIS does, it's called, like, the university program. So it's, like, a special program in the company for hiring college grads. And it's a full-time position, but it also involves like training, and there's like a special benefit for like, student loan repayment and stuff like that. So, she saw this and she was like, hey, why don't you try applying for this? And I was like, okay, sure. And then I applied and, I interviewed for it, and, that's how I ended up getting it.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Great. So, and as you said, hired into your current position, sounds like quite soon after Berkeley.
Yes. So I technically finished in August of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed September, I think. And I think I got, the acceptance beginning of October. And then the start date was January of last year. So there's a big gap actually between acceptance and joining the company, but.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in a way that's nice, right? You get a few months knowing you have a job lined up. And
it was definitely nice to have those few months. But yeah,
very cool.
And also, sorry, if I'm talking too fast, I tend to do this. If I'm talking too fast, just let me know. Okay.
You're not, you're doing fine.
Cool.
So, okay. Let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And I'm going to preface the next question by stating that there's no right or wrong answer to this question.
Sure.
But okay. So, these days, defining these days is, let's say, the later part of 2022 into 2023. What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
I would say right now, it's more of a hobby than a career right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm recording. I still record like for fun. And I play guitar more than drums right now because I live in an apartment and drums are very loud. So. That part kind of sucks, but I play guitar a lot now, and I play like every day. So I still have a relationship with music, but I guess it wasn't necessarily what I envisioned when I first started at Berkeley. But I'm happy with it. I still get to do what I enjoy, and I have a different career path, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
All right. No, very cool. And okay, so. Next question I have for you is, you know, I'm guessing that your job requires a college degree.
Yep.
But there, I'm sure there are other people in your position who have your degree, many different degrees, right? Many colleges, many different majors.
Yes.
So obviously the Berkeley degree is a bachelor's degree. But,
right,
beyond it being a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career in data analysis?
Sure, yeah. So one more direct thing, and then I'll go into more abstract.
Sure.
So one thing in my interview, which I feel like my interviewers actually really liked the fact that I went to music school for some reason. So we actually talked quite a bit about it. And they asked me like how I would bring, you know, my music degree and my skill in that to what I'm doing at FIS. And I basically said what I told you about, you know, how building charts and building, you know, narrativizing data also has a creative element to it. And I think I get that from a musical side. So I told them that, and they seem to really like that. So I think one of the big things that, you know, the interviewers really liked was the fact that I was in a different, like, sort of field, a unique field, relatively, compared to most people who would work in fintech, for example. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that really, I guess, not necessarily prepared me for this job, but made me, like, a better person overall was when I studied abroad in Spain. I took advantage of that, and I really liked that experience. It really gave me a bigger view of the world, and I think that sort of thing is also very helpful when, like, looking for jobs and working in a field, especially in FIS, which is, like, super global. So, like, there are people on my team who work in India, so I'll be working with people who are in completely different time zones, and that sort of global, like, mindset probably really helps me with where I am today. And like I said, the creative side of music does help me think differently from how a lot of people might think, like more technically trained people might think. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it answers it terrific. Terrific great, answer. Yeah.
Just trying to go through, like, just a general thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, that was wonderful. Often I find that I just like to, you know, sit back and let people say their bit. So
sure, yeah. Berkeley was one of those things where, like, it taught me how to be more confident. Because, like, before, like, I never thought I would get accepted at Berkeley because I just didn't really, like, I was a good drummer and everything, but, like, I didn't really expect to get accepted into, like, Berkeley, you know? When I auditioned, it was just, like, sort of a fun thing. You know, we went down to Chicago, and I played a few songs and just did the audition. And then I got the acceptance, and I got, like, it was, like, building confidence, like throughout when I played gigs and when I played in front of other people, in front of teachers even, like, it built a lot of confidence and faith in myself, which I guess you need when you, like, completely change trajectory in your career. So another thing I wanted to add to that.
All right, that's great. Well, let's turn this question around now, because certainly, you know, you came out of Berkeley, got this job lined up quite quickly, and you've been doing very well. But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, like, okay, fine, I know that they give that one degree, the Bachelor's of Music, but they could have taught it, you know, would have been really helpful to have learned this, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Is there anything missing or incomplete in your education?
I mean, that's tough, because anything I might say related to my job, like, I can't really blame Berkeley for that, because it's not meant to train you for that necessarily. But so obviously I didn't get, like, much, like, technical training in terms of, like, coding or, like, anything, like, any of that stuff that I might use in my current career trajectory. But I wouldn't expect Berkeley to do that, you know, it's not what Berkeley is for necessarily. So I'm trying to think of, potential ideas.
Well, for what it's worth, a number of folks have said that exact same thing, that they wish that Berkeley had more coding and that there definitely is a coding aspect to music.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, yeah. I don't know about all majors, but maybe, like, you know, certain majors, like the more production-oriented majors, they include some of those aspects, but I don't know if I can really blame Berkeley for that. It's not something I necessarily even think they should add. It'd be cool, I think, but it's a music school, you know? So it's not something I can really expect from them. But it'll be cool. I think it would really help for people who, like me, are transferring to the tech field, which was a big portion of your website, actually, I saw.
Yes, yes. So cool. Now, next question I have is, you know, you already realized you like music, but you also liked, mm-hmm. you know, data and tech plenty, and you got on your current path quite quickly, extremely yep. quickly after finishing up Berkeley. Many other people, you know, who graduated alongside you haven't yet found that path. And there's right. a lot of, you know, let's say the current Berkeley students staring out into the big scary world and not really wondering, you know, not really knowing what's going to happen. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I'd say don't lock yourself to a certain thing. I mean, life is crazy. Like, you might be doing one thing, like, one day, and then in the next month, like, everything in your life just changes into a completely different direction. So I would say don't lock yourself into one path, and don't I would say even, like, don't plan out the rest of your life, you know? I'd say, you know, do what you can to make yourself better, educate yourself, and just be accepting of where things will take you. Because, I mean, when I started Berkeley, like, I never imagined working where my mom worked, because it always seemed so boring to me. Like, the idea of, like, fintech. Like, but now I'm here and I'm happy with it. So it's one of those things where, like, know yourself, basically, and know, and if you're not happy with it, it's not too late to make a change.
Got it. That's great. And to focus in a little bit, right? You said, I think you're a 224th person interviewed. No one's listening to all 224 except me.
Sure.
But let's say people are listening to this. I think I'm going to have you in there under data analysis.
Okay.
And so, you know, I have maybe half a dozen of those. So someone who's made it this far is almost certainly someone who's interested in data analysis as a career.
Yeah.
So for someone who's, you know, not doing it yet but really thinking about it, what specific advice do you have for them?
Honestly, I would say do what I did. Like, if you're still at Berkeley and you are interested in this, I would say do what I did. I mean, I took that Coursera thing from Google. I think IBM also has one of those for data analysis. I mean, this is a big, like, growing field right now. Like, data is huge, and it'll just keep growing. So if you're interested, I would say take an online course. I mean, those don't teach you everything, but they'll definitely get you started. So in that course, I think I learned I started with Excel. I learned SQL. I learned Tableau. And I learned a little bit of R. And it wasn't, like, comprehensive information by any means, but it was enough to get my foot in the door. I think it was a combination of my music stuff and then also the fact that I trained in another field that ended up, you know, landing me the job. Because I did have some experience in data analysis at the time. So I would say, you know, take some online courses. It's not a bad thing. I mean, online courses are getting more and more accepted these days as more and more people are, you know, sort of don't want to pay, like, so much money for college. So I'd say maybe take an online course if you have time, and just sort of look around for what you might be interested in, because data analysis is also a pretty big field. You might be like me and you want to build reports, or you might be, like, more technically minded and you might want to do coding and, you know, do some predictive analytics, something like that. So I'd say, you know, keep your options open and probably get some basic training and get your foot in the door with that.
All right, that's great. Well, I just have one last question for you, Kevin.
That's fast.
Yeah. You have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
Can I ask you, like, a general question?
Of course.
What made you create the website and sort of build out this sort of database of all these people?
I'm going to answer the question two ways.
Okay.
So let's say, even going back to, you know, more than a decade, I always felt as though, you know, my feeling was just that a lot of Berkeley grads were going on to cool careers, and Berkeley was always just talking about, you know, the ones who had won Grammys or whatever. And, like, not to knock the Grammys, but I felt like okay, but there's a lot of people who are doing other stuff, and they seem to just be falling into a black hole here. I remember once the provost visited our department, was talking all about people in great careers. I was like, well, what about the ones who aren't in music? And they threw one or two anecdotes, but, you know, I felt like, you know, someone should shine a light on all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take it up to 2015, because from 2005 to 2015, I was part-time faculty at Berkeley. And part-time, you can still be teaching a full course load, but you're considered part-time. And when you're part-time, essentially, you teach, you have department meetings, office hours, that's all you're expected to do. Mm-hmm. Then in 2015, they converted me to full-time faculty. And full-time faculty do all that, but they're also expected to do some, like, service to the college and service to the profession. So being an economist, like, it meant I had to do stuff related to economics besides just teaching. And I was kind of like, well, I'd always sort of thought about, you know, thought that this is something that someone should shine a light on, and hey, the fact that no one's shining a light on this means it'll actually be original research and I won't just be duplicating what they've already done. So when it started off, it was one of two projects I was doing, but I quickly smelled a lot more potential with this one, dumped the other one, doubled down on this. And at this point, I visit the Professional Development Seminar, LHUM 400. I visit about two-thirds of the LHUM 400 sections and give a presentation all about these people, such as yourself. So it was the sort of interested and then got to do something, so let's do it.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of things start, I guess.
Exactly.
Just when you're, like, you're interested in something, but you got to, eventually somebody will push you to do it, and that's when you'll actually do it, so... I mean, for what it's worth, like, I think I was in your stats class in 2019, and I remember you showing us this website, and I think that really was part of what motivated me to start branching out to, you know, different careers and ideas, because I don't think I'd picked a major at that point, so that might have been part of what led me to pick music business out of everything else. So.
Oh wow, that's really great to hear. I'm really glad to hear you're doing really well for yourself as well.
Yeah. Is there anything you think I missed or you want me to elaborate on or anything like that?
I'd have asked.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, nope. You got it all down very solidly, so well done. And
awesome.
All right. Thank you for a really enjoyable conversation.
Yeah, I had fun.
All right. Have a great evening now.
You too. Thanks, Ken. Bye.